Everybody ready?
Ready.
Sam?
Yes.
I'll call the Monday, January 28th Assembly, regular Assembly meeting to order, number 2013-03. And if you'll all rise and flag salute, join us in the fight.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, clerk, Ms. Clerk.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Mr. Dipto?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Nankervis?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Sanford?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. Special order of business tonight is Madam Manager Barbara Berg's special order.
I'd like to ask Barbara to come
forward, please.
You're not going to give her that mic, are you, Ms. Manager?
Not for very long. We have it timed. To give you an idea how long Barbara has worked for the CBJ, there's a note in her personnel file that states, please file all 2010 and later documents in volume 2. Barbara started her career with the CBJ in April of 1985 as the Regional Services Administrator, which was funded by state grants. For the next 10 years, Barbara's position relied on grant funding, and she still stayed with us. In November of 1994, Barbara's responsibilities changed, and she no longer had to wait to find out if the grant funding was received, and she still had a job. In December 1995, her supervisor noted, and this was news to me, this was quite an achievement, City of Juneau's homepage is Barbara's brainchild, and the outstanding quality of this online representation for our city is evident to all who access via the World Wide Web. Once again, sort of dates when all this was happening. In August of 1996, it was commented that patrons seeked out Barbara because she was really scholarly in reference questions. She was an outstanding reference librarian who cared deeply about the answer. The right answer is located for those staff people, or for those community people asking. In 2001, Barbara received a special honor of being one of two Alaskans chosen by the Alaska State Libraries to participate in the Stanford Institute, a leadership think tank for librarians. In 2003, Barbara was promoted into the role of the library director. In the past 10 years, Barbara has continued to adapt to the changing library world. She has worked on two different Valley Library designs and is retiring so someone else can have the joy of designing a library that will adapt and serve the community well into the future. She has been active in the state and national library associations, and she has shared what she has learned with her staff and supervisors. She has also worked closely with the Library Endowment Fund, the Friends of the Public Libraries, and the Amazing Bookstore. Barbara has taken on challenges and changes with a can-do attitude and great determination. I'm sure 27 years ago that she never thought she would be dealing with things called ebooks, podcasts, auto downloads, and blogs. Thank you, Barbara, for your service to the community of Juneau. We appreciate all you've done to show the world our beautiful city through your development of our CBJ webpage and for keeping the doors of the library open to exploration and lifelong learning, providing free access to shared resources and programs that entertain, enlighten, and educate. We wish you the very best in your retirement.
And I will say that I actually worked for the city once before. In 1972, when I first came to Juneau, I walked into the old Memorial Library and I said to Dale DeArmond, do you have a job that I could do? And about 3 weeks later, she said, go over to the Douglas Library. We're just taking it into the city system. Get the old books out of there that don't belong there and get the kids in. And those were her instructions.
when it was still above the old fire station.
Over the fire station, right. But I've enjoyed almost every minute of it, and a large part due to the people I've gotten to work with in the city and in the library. It's just a wonderful experience. So I thank you, too, for allowing me to do it.
Thank you.
Are you here?
The only requirement is that you have to sit through the rest of the meeting. Okay. Approval of minutes. Are there any corrections to the January 7th, 2013 regular assembly minutes, 2013-01? Any objections to their approval? Seeing none and hearing none, so approved. You ladies online, make sure you speak up if you need to say anything to us. Girls, are you still there?
I'm here, Mr. Mayor. I just have to hit the mute button. and hit it again and remember to hit it again, or you'll hear a dog barking. Okay, I'll do that, though. Thank you.
All right. Manager request for agenda changes?
No, thank you.
Any changes from the assembly? We'll go into public participation on non-agenda items. So this is an opportunity for anyone who wishes to speak to us about an item that is not on the agenda. And I see that we have one here, Ms. Liz Clement. Come forward up here. Come up here. Bring him up with you. That's good.
Get a seat right here.
He needs to learn the process, too.
He does. That's part of what we're here for.
That's good.
You want to sit right here?
He may have it in his blood, Mr. Mayor.
You can sit in his jacket. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Slide in, okay?
Is there anybody else from the public who wishes to testify on non-agenda items? Okay. Seeing none, you have 5 minutes.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Please forgive my notes. They'll keep me on task here. My name is Elizabeth, or Liz Clement. I live at 3710 Sanders Street, Juneau. I'm the proud parent of this four-year-old sitting right next to me. And though it's uncomfortable, I'm here to talk to you tonight about something parents of young children get used to talking about. I'm here to talk about poop, specifically dog poop at Capitol Park. My son's preschool uses the playground at Capitol Park almost daily, in almost all weather. So does the entire student population of Juneau Community Charter School, and families and other user groups in the neighborhood. On one visit to the park earlier this month, my son's teacher counted no less than 13 piles of dog feces, not scattered across the park, but in the dedicated playground area alone, under monkey bars, at the bottom of slides. We have excellent staff at our preschool. Usually they go above and beyond the call of duty to clean up the feces so that our children aren't playing in poop. But in better weather, in wetter weather, this isn't practical. Instead, it leaves our children playing in an unsafe waste area. It's a health concern that CBJ should take seriously. After contacting CBJ through the online Tell It to City Hall mechanism, several parents from our preschool received a apparently recycled response from the Parks and Rec Department, saying basically that they are working on new signage to encourage dog owners to be responsible and clean up after their pets, and also that the fencing some parents had requested be placed around the play area would actually make the problem worse. With all due respect, this response is inadequate, and I believe it's also inaccurate. CBJ recently installed a fence around the park's toddler play area, and the piles of feces we used to find there every day are now exceedingly rare. I've seen the difference with my own eyes, am not asking you to close any of our community's parks to dogs. Our four-legged friends need a place to run, just as my two-legged son does every day. I'm a dog owner, and I expect myself to be a responsible one. I expect other dog owners in the city and borough to be responsible dog owners and clean up after their pets in rain, snow, dark, or wind. I also am asking you, as members of the CBJ Council, to provide a small amount of funding to build a fence around the playground equipment at the park, as you have recently for the toddler area, to ensure our children and all park users have a safe, clean place to play. Thank you for putting up with this somewhat uncomfortable topic of conversation, and thank you for your time.
Ms. Clement, we've had more public comment about this type of stuff than budgets, so don't feel bad at all. We understand. Are there any questions for Ms. Clement?
No.
Does staff, does any of the new things that we're putting into effect here from staff, does any of that help at all? Do you know?
One thing that we did last week is we worked with the Gastineau Humane Society and their ticketing, and they're going to go out and ticket everybody that they see not cleaning up after their dog. And I don't know, that just happened on Friday in discussions with them. I know that George Shaft is here, and he can answer more questions if you want to at the end of the meeting about what else he is working on.
Is that park, Capitol Park, one of the parks that they're ticketing
Yes.
animals in?
Yeah, there are a number of areas that we've received complaints on, and that's one of them.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much, Ms. Clement.
Thank you.
Appreciate
all for your service.
It. Okay, all the others on the list are here to talk to us about an agenda item, so when we get to the Sobeloff building, they will all testify. So we'll move on to the consent agenda. Mr. Dibdahl.
Yeah, I'd like to move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections to that? Hearing none. So ordered. And that takes us all the way through the bid awards and the liquor license. Okay, that's all on the Sea Alaska building, so good. Okay, we'll move to a public hearing on Ordinance 2012-20AC.
An ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $6,186.03 as funding to support medical emergency medical public safety awareness, funding provided by a donation from the Medic One Fund.
Thank you. Can we have a manager's report?
The Medic One Fund was established prior to 1989 through small donations to be used to support public safety awareness for the entire CBJ community. The use of fund proceeds was determined by a volunteer group, the Medic One Fund Committee, which has disbanded. The fund has been inactive for approximately 20 years, and the $6,186.03 is the balance remaining in the fund. This ordinance would appropriate that funding to allow Capital City Fire and Rescue to provide CPR training and purchase of training aids and materials for public awareness and training. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Does anyone from the public wish to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. We'll move to assembly action. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move adoption of Ordinance 2012-20AC and ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? This money was put in there before I even retired from the fire department 15 years ago.
They had money then?
It's barely good. So this is passed. Let's move on to Ordinance 2013-01. And this is the ordinance. Excuse me, Madam Clerk, will you?
An ordinance amending the land use code by adopting a revised Juneau Downtown Historic District map.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Can we have manager's report?
This ordinance would adopt the land use code to revise version of the Juneau Downtown Historic District map with new boundaries. The only change would be to exclude the district from the district the block bounded by Seward Street, Front Street, Shattuck Way, and Municipal Way. The purpose of the revised map is to facilitate the development of the proposed Walter Soboloff building by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute without the design constraints imposed by the historic district requirements. It removed from the district the parcel in which the building is being proposed. Adoption of the revised map, Exhibit A1, would minimize required changes to the design proposed by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, which require a conditional use permit to be granted by the Planning Commission. This ordinance would not address the issues of parking and awning as required by the existing code. The Historic Resource Advisory Committee considered the proposed map change at its meeting on December 19th and recommended an amendment to the proposed map, which would leave the first 5 feet of the frontage on Front Street in the historic district. The Planning Commission reviewed this ordinance at its January 8th meeting and recommended the Assembly adopt the Historic Resources Advisory Committee recommendations to remove the 5 foot along Front Street. This ordinance, as proposed, would exclude the full block from the Juneau Downtown Historic District map going from Seward Street, Front Street, Shattuck Way, and Municipal Way, as is shown on Exhibit A1. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. And now we'll turn to public comments on this ordinance. And is there anybody else in the audience who hasn't signed up who wishes to comment on this ordinance? I've got you down, Rosita. Okay, so we'll move through from the top to the bottom, and we'll have William Martin first.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. If it's okay, I would like our sister, Frieda Westman, if she could also testify right after I am.
That would be good, Mr. Martin. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Bill Martin. I am currently the Grand President of the Alaska Native Brotherhood. 3 months into my first term, for which Dr. Soboloff has served 5 consecutive years, and also was the Grand President Emeritus. Dr. Soboloff was a wonderful man, who's held in high esteem by all of us. His leadership, both in politics and in his minister field, is well known by all of us. When we as Alaska Natives saw the design of the building, we were really pleased and felt good in our hearts for the design, because it correctly portrayed the Native people that have lived in this community for many, many, many generations, thousands of years. And so we feel that it is fitting that the building remain as designed, and that would show when people that are visiting Juneau take a look at the building from, say, Front Street and Seward, and you can see the design as it portrays our people, that it would be something for them to want to come in and see our artwork, our crafts and our arts, and it would show the people from outside of Alaska what this community means to us and to all the other people in that live in this town. I ask that you honor our request to pass this ordinance, because I think that it would be a great value to this community. It would be a great value to all of us in Southeast when we come to this town and see this building that honors such a remarkable person that lived in this community most of his life. So, Mr. Mayor, we ask that you and the members of the Assembly adopt this ordinance. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Martin, thank you very much. Ms. Frieda Westman?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Frieda Westman. I'm the ANS Grand President, elected this year as well. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in front of you, Mr. Mayor, and Assembly members. A little bit of a history lesson on the Alaska Native Sisterhood and the Alaska Native Brotherhood, an organization founded on civil rights for Alaska Native people. The Brotherhood and the Sisterhood assimilated to present their cases in front of different bodies, such as this. And it is important to know that the Alaska Native people have been here in Juneau much earlier than when the mining industry came into being here in the 1900s, I mean the 1800s. And so I think it is important to honor the design of this building. It will not detract from Juneau. It will enhance Juneau. It will very importantly portray the cultural aspects of Tlingit people who are from this area and call this area home. It will attract visitors. And in fact, I would say that I would encourage the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, if it were denied to use this design in the building, to look at other communities to have this building, because this is so important to our people to use the design as it was created. And I think that would be a shame, because this is the first choice for Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. And I am speaking for many people here, for the local camps of A&B and A&S. And there may be a little bit more of a history lesson to do about A&B and A&S, in that there are several camps who are located here in Juneau. I'm also a member of Alaska Native Sisterhood Camp 70. There's Camp 2 and there's Camp 3, both Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood. In many other communities, there are local camps, which is who Bill Martin and myself represent. And for visitors coming from other communities, coming for gold medal basketball tournament, coming from the surrounding villages, they are going to want to see this building be presented intact in the way it was designed. It will honor them, and it will honor us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam President. Are there any questions? Thank you both for testifying. Appreciate it. The next is Mr. Joe Wilton Nelson. Good evening, Joe.
Mr. Mayor, thank you, Assembly members. Thank you for considering this ordinance tonight. I'm hopeful, so I'm not going to take too long, hopefully, but I'm hopeful that we're poised to do the right thing here. And the thing that triggered me to come tonight is the sense of concern. So I'm speaking in favor of Ordinance 201301, but I'm respectfully opposing the amendment that was brought by the Historical Resources Advisory Committee, and that was supported by the Planning Commission. And I this is all news, kind of, because I haven't been tracking closely. So the timing, just in the last few days, I learned that this amendment was suggested and that the Planning Commission is supporting it. And the idea of the historic district, it's not that old, and it's relatively new. You look in the history books, or even just Google it, which most people will do now. These things came up relatively new in American society. And there was a sense of, in the 60s, a country needing some roots and needing to find a sense of place in the struggling turmoil in the 60s. Let's maintain some history, some integrity of the community. So we get the value. We get the value of maintaining history and a sense of integrity and maintaining the character. And in the bigger scheme, it improves the value. You know, at the end of the day, it's always about the value of the property values. And the idea of this native communal building being whitewashed, for lack of a better term right now, but to have a Victorian face put on it, it's got the potential to peel some scabs that we don't want to peel in this community. We've been making progress in so many ways around the state, and especially in this town, which is the capital of the city, or the capital of the state. This idea of acknowledging the native history is so powerful, such a huge opportunity, that it's almost unconscionable that the rest of the community doesn't just embrace it with open arms. So that's why I'm here, I guess, is I'm troubled that the hint of this being an issue even, and the idea of putting a separate face on the outside of a building that is intended to be so deeply rooted in this place that many of us have called home for generations, for forever. And there's plenty of testimony to come, so I'm going to really keep it short, but there's so much passion that can be ignited, and I want it to be channeled the right way. And this building speaks to our future as a more tolerant community, a more tolerant place. When that building is there, it's going to be something that this entire state is going to be proud of, and it's going to be right there down the hill from a Capitol building that's trying to get a facelift, and down the road from the governor's mansion. And to have this come right now, it's troubling, the hint of this idea that's coming out of the Planning Commission and the Historic Resources Council. So, I mean, no offense to anybody serving in those bodies right now. I didn't look to see who's serving on them. But I asked them to study and understand and try to articulate then the broader purpose of having the Historic District in the first place. Because I think on most every measure, this building is going to add value on most every measure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Are there any questions for Mr. Nelson? Seeing none, thank you very much. Can we have Ms. Rosita Worrell and Lee Cattinger come up? Do you guys sit beside one another? I want to tease Lee, Rosita. Thank you both for being here.
Mr. Mayor and honorable assembly members, thank you for this opportunity to speak in favor of the proposed ordinance to revise the boundary of the downtown historic district. For the record, my name is Rosita Worrell, and I serve as president of the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. In accordance with our cultural protocols, I also offer my traditional identity. Yadeklatsak kakahani yuchatuasak. Chakna ayachat, shangu kwedi nachatsati, kaudli yayi hit ayachat, jishkat kwan ayachat, tlukachadi dachchank ayachat. My Tlingit name is Yadeklatsauk. My ceremonial name is Kahani. I am an eagle of the Thunderbird clan and the house lord from the sun from Klakwan in the Chilkat region. And I am a child and grandchild of the Sockeye clan. With me is Lee Cattinger, our Chief Operating Officer. First, I would like to extend our heartfelt thanks to the Mayor and the Assembly and to the citizens of Juneau for supporting the 1% tax initiative that included the Walter Soboloff Center. It was a gratifying message to our near 4,000 tribal constituents who came out in larger numbers to vote for this initiative. To receive the support of our city government and its citizens. I would also like to acknowledge the support and encouragement of former Mayor Bruce Botello to construct the center in the heart of downtown Juneau. SHI's mission is to support the traditions of Southeast Alaska Natives and to promote cultural understanding. I firmly believe that cultural diversity is one of Alaska's greatest resources. We believe that SHI's programs and services, which have further been strengthened with formal partnerships with the University of Alaska Southeast and the Juneau School District, have been a benefit not only to our constituents, but to the greater public as well. Additionally, SHI has generated millions of dollars in economic benefits to the city of Juneau. Celebration 2012 alone contributed $2 million to the city's economy over a three-day period. Dr. Walter Soboloff, in one of his last acts as the chair of the Sea Alaska Heritage Board of Trustees, approved of the design of the center on April 27, 2011. The Sea Alaska Heritage Institute and our architectural team initiated changes to the center design after meeting with the former city planning director. The revisions also included changes based on previous historic resource advisory committee comments in an attempt to comply with the historic site standards that call for the late Victorian, early 20th century commercial, Art Modern, and Art Deco architectural designs. SHI determined that further changes to the proposed design would adversely and irreversibly affect the integrity of the Native-inspired architecture, art, and cultural values embodied in the Walter Soboloff Center. Additionally, changes to comply with the HRAC and Planning Commission recommendations regarding the Front Street side of the facility to comply with the historic district's height requirement to a depth of 5 feet will result in significant financial cost increases and delay the construction of the center. Such changes would undermine Native aesthetics, and I regretfully and painfully say would also have the potential to open old wounds about the history of attitudes towards Native people in the historic district. SHI views the support of the citizens of the recent tax initiative vote, along with the support of the mayor and the assembly, as rejecting the negative historical attitudes towards the presence of Native people in the historic district, and expressing a more diverse perspective on Juneau's historical heritage. We are concerned that requiring the Walter Soboloff Center architecture to conform to the historic district's standards, which is singularly based on a mining history in Juneau, might conceivably be construed as a rejection of Native peoples and their heritage. I have outlined to you in previous communications the financial costs that redesign would cost us. I've noted that it would take up to 20 variances in order to meet the direct district standards. I said that the architectural and engineering costs alone, those changes and modifications would require an additional $120,000 and a 2 to 3 months delay just in the design. Delays in the construction of the facility would be costly, and each month of a delay with inflationary costs would be about roughly $50,000 per month. Limiting the height of the building would also result in decreased space and a decline in revenue generating capacity that would undermine the SHI facility as a self-sustaining project. And it would also reduce space for the amount of space needed for long-term growth. Meeting the historic Victorian-style architecture on one side of the building, coupled with the Native-inspired architectural design on the remaining sides of the facility, would adversely affect and seriously undermine the architectural aesthetics, conflict with Native art, design, and cultural values that require social and spiritual balance, and furthermore, would be unsightly. Southeast Alaska Native cultures are built around duality. The social organization is divided between moieties. Social and spiritual balance between these moieties is required to ensure the well-being of our communities. These values are reflected in the native art design that is primarily built around symmetry. To require the center to integrate Victorian designs on one side of the facility with a native design depicting our four core cultural values on the other is a serious challenge to our cultural values. See, SHI looks forward to constructing the Walter Soboloff Center in the near future. The construction phase will create almost 100 jobs in the community with an additional 10 long-term jobs as SHI grows and expands into the new facility. We believe that the design of the center complements the historic district and the history of Juneau by highlighting Native-inspired architectural design and the heritage of the Tlingit Indians that is largely absent from the historic district and all other areas of Juneau. We believe that the Walter Soboloff Center within the heart of downtown will allow Juneau to celebrate our rich and diverse heritage without compromising the historic values of the historic district. We believe that the proposed ordinance to revise the boundaries of the downtown historic district creates an exciting opportunity and future to support Juneau as becoming an art center within the nation. Good luck.
Thank you, Ms. Worrell. Any questions for Ms. Worrell? Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Cattinger.
Oh, that's it.
just here for questions.
She said it very nicely, didn't she? Ms. Brown, did you want to, I saw you looking for a paper back there. Did you want to come up and testify? Thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. My name is Allison Eastaw Brown, and I am here representing myself. I live at 3051 Douglas Highway. I'm here tonight to urge the approval of all four exterior sides of the downtown Walter Soboloff Center building as designed and presented by the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. I write this as a 65-year-old resident of this community and whose grandparents settled here in 1906 and 1911. My father was born in Nome in 1913. My mother was born in Juneau in 1917. At last, Juneau's downtown landscape will be enhanced by a new, exciting, attractive, and important building. We haven't had anything of this size and caliber since the Sea Alaska building was constructed decades ago. That building's design endures and helps make Juneau's downtown look professional and successful. Its interior showcases wonderful Alaska Native art, tastefully displayed and always well-maintained. The landscaping outside is also enjoyed by Juneau residents, and it wasn't until Sea Alaska Corporation purchased the pit that what had been an eyesore to Juneau residents and visitors for years was improved by Sea Alaska's installation of attractive park-like walkways and planting. I believe the design presented by Sea Alaska Heritage Institute for the Soboloff Center is thoughtful and exciting and consistent with the theme and purpose of the building, which honors the past, present, and future of a people and culture that occupied this place long before the Gold Rush. The Historical Review Commission and Planning Commission want Front Street to evoke a Victorian Days of 98 theme. Surely there is room in our downtown to celebrate both histories on Front Street. Before reaching the end of Front Street, where it adjoins Seward Street, why not have a different building that is truly unique, contemporary, yet evocative of the past? It is my understanding that the Soboloff Center's facade facing Front Street will display a painted totemic design. It will be that design that entices visitors to further explore what's just around the corner after walking a block with the same motif on both sides of the street. Please, let's not muddle up what is Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's fitting design by requiring them to tack on some beadboard siding in yellow and deep magenta or sage green to convey a Victorian storefront. I believe making even one side of the Sobolev Center adhere to a Victorian theme is wrong from an integrity of design standpoint. The new building is meant to reflect and showcase the themes of cultural peoples, objects, and activities going on inside the building, both historic and ever-changing. Would New York City require the Guggenheim Museum on Fifth Avenue, which is the cylindrical white structure with interior ramp art galleries, to add siding in the same architectural styles of adjoining 19th and early 20th century apartment houses just to carry out a once-was theme? No. Please approve Sea Alaska Heritage Institute's design for all four sides of its building.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Are there any questions for Ms. Brown? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Harris, I saw you get up and go back to the paper. Do you wish to speak too?
I would.
Okay. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak on this topic? Okay. This will be the last public testimony then. Mr. Harris, good to see you.
Well, good to see you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Assembly members, for your interest in this matter. I'm the Executive Vice President of Sea Alaska Corporation. I'm here to speak in favor of the ordinance that would remove that block from the historic district boundary. Ms. Brown did a very good job and took away most of my testimony, so I'm not going to bore you repeating it. But if you recall, Sea Alaska purchased the pit after it had been vacant for quite a few years with a plywood fence and garbage accumulating in the bottom. Within 30 days of Sea Alaska purchasing it, we wanted to be proud of our ownership of that facility, and we made a commitment and an investment at very substantial cost, well over $50,000, to go back in and to fill the hole and to do the landscaping so that it at least added an attractive addition to the community. And what I would ask at this point in time is that the Assembly is sort of a shared relationship and a shared partnership, as we've made a very substantial commitment to be a good citizen, to be able to make that place somewhere that was acceptable to our downtown residents. And to that degree, I'm hoping that the Assembly will see way fit to approve this exemption from the or removal from the historic district, because I think we have really truly made an honest commitment to make this downtown area a better place, and changing the design to a Victorian would just be troubling for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Are there any questions for Mr. Harris? Thank you for everybody who has testimony. We'll close public testimony and move to assembly action. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move assembly approval of Ordinance 2013-01, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Online, any objections? Hearing none, seeing none, so ordered. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. All right, we'll move on to Ordinance 2013-02. Madam Clerk.
This is an ordinance creating Local Improvement District Number 96, Auk Lake Sewer 2013, consisting of construction of a sanitary sewer system that would provide municipal sewer service to the properties along Glacier Highway from the top of Peterson Hill to Fritz Cove Road.
Madam Manager.
The total of all proposed assessments for this project is $23,400. An informal poll was conducted of the property owners in this LID area. As of December 5, 2012, 8 responses were received from a total of 14 properties. All 8 responses were in favor of the LID. LID 96 was reviewed by the Public Works and Facilities Committee at its December 10, 2012 meeting and forwarded to the full assembly. Notices were published in the newspaper and sent to residents in the LID area so they would be aware that they would have the opportunity to make their views known to the assembly at this public hearing. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, hearing none, assembly action. Who wants to take up my sewer cause? Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I've got a crown on this, you know.
I move assembly approval of Ordinance 2013-02, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Move forward to Ordinance Serial Number 2013-3, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the land use code relating to minimum vegetative cover requirements in mixed-use zoning districts.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Madam Manager?
The proposed ordinance would amend Title 49, the land use code, to eliminate vegetative cover requirements in the mixed-use district and require public institutional uses to comply with vegetation requirements as specified by the underlying zoning district. The mixed-use district is located in the historic downtown core area. Historically, vegetative cover was not required, and development was encouraged to cover the entirety of the site. This is reflected in the current development standards that do not require setbacks in the mixed-use district. In recent times, many variances have been granted to the mixed-use 5% vegetative cover requirement because it's impossible to provide vegetative cover on a site using standard construction techniques when full build-out is encouraged. Additionally, public institutional uses are currently required to provide a minimum of 30% vegetative cover on site. This ordinance would allow the underlying zoning district's vegetative cover requirements for public institutional uses to be applied in the same manner as it is for all other developments. The Planning Commission reviewed this ordinance at its January 8th meeting and recommended forwarding to the full assembly for approval. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Thank you, Madam Manager. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to comment on this ordinance? Seeing none, public comment is closed. Assembly action. Mr. Jones, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Caught that right on.
I move the adoption of ordinance 2013-03 and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? So ordered. Thank you. Unfinished business? None?
Oh, none.
We'll move on to new business. We have an appeal. Mr. Hartle?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You can see item A under new business is an appeal of a Planning Commission decision granting a conditional use permit for Lemon Creek gravel extraction. A timely appeal was filed by Mr. Michael A. Dow, and I see no reason why the Assembly should not accept the appeal. And we have the usual three questions. Will the Assembly accept the appeal? Will you hear it yourself or assign it to a hearing officer? And I see no particular reason why it should be assigned to a hearing officer. And if you hear it yourself, will the mayor preside or designate another member?
Thank you, Mr. Hartle. The wishes of the assembly. Is there anyone who wishes to volunteer for this appeal? To lead the charge?
This is Karen. I'll do it.
Is that Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Mr. Wanamaker?
Motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly accept the appeal, that the Assembly hear the appeal itself, and that the Assembly designate Assembly Member Crane as presiding officer.
Are there any exceptions to that or any corrections to that? Any objections? So ordered. Thank you very much, Assembly members. We'll move on to staff reports.
None, thank you.
None, thank you.
Assembly reports, the mayor's report. Mr. Wanamaker and I and Deputy Mayor Becker went up with our city manager, Kim Kiefer, and assistant city manager and talked to the governor one morning right after his State of the State and discussed the city priorities and some different projects with him for about an hour one morning. It was kind of a last-minute thing, and we had to get some type of executive committee to go up there and meet with him, which I was very appreciative of. And he sat there and listened to us and talked to us one-on-one, which was a very good thing. And it's only the second time in 10 years that I've known a governor to ask us up and to do that type of thing with. So, Mr. Wanamaker, if you have anything to say about it.
None. Yeah, it's very comprehensive. Thank you.
Ms. Becker? Ms. Becker, do you have anything to say about the governor's meeting?
I really appreciate the governor meeting with us, and I think we had a good discussion with him.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Committee reports. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you. The Public Works and Facilities Committee has not met since our last meeting, and so we're still waiting for our next meeting, which I'll have to find out when that is. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Got lots for us.
We do. We're so excited. The Human Resources Committee met just before this meeting, and we had a great time. We heard annual reports from six city boards or committees, and we have recommended appointments for five of them. For the Jensen Olson Arboretum Board, the Human Resources Committee recommends appointment of Peter Fralick and Deb Rudis to terms expiring January 31st of 2016.
Are there any objections to those names? So ordered.
For the Juneau Public Library Endowment Board, the committee recommends appointment of Jeff Vogt to a term expiring January 31st of 2016.
Are there any objections to that name? Hearing none, so ordered.
To the Personnel Board, the committee recommends appointment of reappointment of Nikki Neal and appointment of Joan Cahill to seats representing management, for terms expiring January 31st of 2016.
Are there any objections to that? So ordered.
For the Wetlands Review Board, the committee recommends appointment of Amy Subner and Hal Geiger to terms expiring December 31st of 2015.
Are there any objections? So ordered.
I'm going to take a really deep breath for the Local Emergency Planning Commission. No, I'm not. There's no way to do it in one breath. Mr. Mayor, the Human Resources Committee recommends reappointment of Bill Legere to a seat representing a member of the media for a term expiring December 31st of 2015. They recommend appointment of Miko Wilson to the alternate media seat for a term expiring December 31st of 2015. Mr. Scott Novak to the American Red Cross alternate seat for a term expiring December 31st, 2013. That's the remainder of a term. Mr. Dan Garcia for reappointment to a seat representing the owner or operator of a facility subject to the Right to Know Act for a term expiring December 31st of 2015. The appointment of Mr. Matthew Musselwhite to a community group seat for a term expiring December 31st of 2015. Mr. Edward Williams for reappointment to a community group alternate seat for a term expiring December 31st of 2015. And finally, Mr. Joel Curtis to the alternate hazmat or transporter seat for a term expiring December 31st of 2014.
Does everybody remember all those names?
Would you like me to repeat them?
No, I don't. Mr. Keel, thank you very much. Are there any objections to the appointment of those good fellows and ladies? Seeing none and hearing no objections, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would simply note that for the first time in even Mr. Nankervis's memory, the LEPC is now fully staffed up with members. And the applause for that goes, I think, to the committee and to city staff for recruiting a whole lot of great people to serve on that. The only other item from the Human Resources Committee, Mr. Mayor, is that we didn't complete our agenda. The follow-up on recommendations about board appointments and the board guideline packet review will be held over to our next meeting.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Keel. Mr. Smith?
No report.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Let's see. Public Works, Mr. Wanamaker, you already said nothing. Okay. Committee of the Whole, Ms. Becker.
I did hear a phone hang up, so she may be gone.
Finance Committee, Ms. Crane.
Nothing this evening, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Ms. Becker, are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
Committee of the Whole report?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'm here.
Committee of the Whole report, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. At our last meeting, we had a 101 class on the city codes given to us by our planning department. It was a good overview, and I'm sure we're going to hear more from them, too, as we keep going with our housing ad hoc committee. Our next meeting is February 4th, and hopefully we will have another report, I think, from the lenders group. Mr. Smith is working on that group. And that's it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. And could you go ahead and just give us your liaison report at the same time then?
Yes, thank you. I have no report.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. We'll move on to Ms. Crane.
Nothing this evening. Thank you.
All right. Holy smokes. Mr. Jones.
Yes. On the Docks and Harbor, they have the clerk has noticed the vacancies for the 1% for Art project for 16B. Those applications are due on the 27th of February, and then I assume they'll come up through the Human Resources Committee. Also, Stater Harbor is proceeding. Pacific Pile and Marine had some problems with their large crane, but it's now out there, and they feel that they will be able to meet their deadline of being done on May 15th. There was a special meeting the other night on Aurora Harbor changes, and there were a few members of the public there to testify on the changes that were being made after the previous hearing. I think everybody was pretty satisfied with that. The one of the other issues they dealt with, we dealt with tonight on the consent agenda, and their Docks and Harbor's next meeting is Thursday.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Nan Curvis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. For the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee has a meeting tomorrow night, 6 p.m. here in the chambers. The purpose of the meeting is for public testimony on the draft plan from staff on the Auk Lake management plan. So that's tomorrow night at 6 p.m. here. Also, for the Commission on Sustainability, there was a retreat this last weekend, went from 9 to noon here in the chambers. Somebody thoughtfully brought some smoked salmon, which went well with the bagels and cream cheese, I thought. And it was their annual retreat to plan on mapping out their year, what they wanted to attempt to accomplish. They came up with three things: an energy plan they wanted to work on, a solid waste plan that they wanted to work on, and in addition to that, public outreach, basically getting their message out on what they are working on. Thank you.
Mr. Nankervis, thank you very much. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Planning Commission has completed the update, the latest update of the comprehensive plan, and on the website, I believe the new community schedule for input on the comprehensive plan is posted. This is a very important opportunity for the public to see the work that the Planning Commission has done, and I would encourage the Assembly to participate. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. It looked like there was a whole group of meetings coming up for the public to be able to participate, and it looks like it was spread out throughout all the whole community. So make sure that you look at that, the website, and get to a meeting that's closest to your home and give your input. It's an important part of what we're doing, for sure. Is that it, Mr. Smith? Did you want to say anything about the housing thing while you're
here? I would want to comment on the Vice Mayor's reference to the lending group. We have had two meetings with them. They are into their third round of meetings. They have now convened a group that combines both the mortgage lenders from the credit unions and the commercial banks. So they're well on their way and taking this very seriously. And it's hoped that they're going to be ready by the 4th, and I'll know this in a day or so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Appreciate it. There's a lot of work going on there, and it'll be nice to get all that information in and then be able to get it back to staff so we can put it all together and look at what we can do to help facilitate. Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing at this time, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Keel.
Just notice of some upcoming meetings, Mr. Mayor. The Eagle Crest Board meets Thursday, February 7th. The Affordable Housing Commission, Tuesday the 12th. And the now fully constituted local emergency planning committee on the following day, Wednesday, February 13th.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Is the Affordable Housing Group getting to a point of making some recommendation to us in the next 3 months, 4 months, do you think?
Mr. Mayor, the Affordable Housing Committee has it continues its work through its task list of recommendations. I know they are anxiously awaiting seeing a draft of the subdivision improvement tax deferral ordinance, which I believe is in our legal department, and they continue to work down other items on their task list and continue to make recommendations on an ongoing basis. I'd be happy to work with them on some other more formal report if you would like, and if the other assembly members would like.
You know, I think that it's time to begin to hear from them on the broader issues and maybe what they think that we might be able to do. I don't think we've had that at any of our committee meetings or at the assembly as committee of the whole at all. So maybe if you can orchestrate something there to get us all up to date so that we can start working from that side of the house too. I know we've got our feet in a lot of different irons here, but I think they all go together, and we should try to move them along together, at least some of them. So if you could orchestrate something for us.
I'd be happy to do that. I know that commission members have been closely following the work that the Committee of the Whole has been doing on housing more broadly, and they continue their focus on affordable housing. Actually, I believe they've been preparing their annual report, so I think we can iron those feet and get something going.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Keel. Mr. Wanamaker?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Juneau Economic Development Council continues to work on planning for its Innovation Summit to be held here in Juneau approximately February 12th and 13th. And the school board is working. They met with us as a special assembly meeting last week, but they're also have formed a budget committee, a very large budget committee, to try to put together a school district budget with as much participation from the affected parties as possible. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wanamaker. Invitation to anybody on the council, if any of you want to go to a Southeast Conference morning breakfast with legislators tomorrow morning at 7:30 at the Jack, you're all invited to come by and talk to your legislators and tell them all the things that you wish to get for your community, if you so wish. So you're all invited to come down and take participate in that. Again, 7:30 at the Jack. Okay, presiding officer reports. Mr. Jones, I think, is the only one we have right now.
Yes. We had our first pre-hearing meeting, I guess about a week and a half ago now, and was very productive, and we're holding a second pre-hearing conference on the 12th of February. In between that, the CDD will be producing the actual record. The parties will have an opportunity to comment on that record. It's my hope that at the second preliminary meeting we can finalize exactly what the issues are on the appeal possibly have some outlines for settlement. We'll see. I'm hopeful.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, why don't you go ahead and go with assembly comments and questions at this time, too? Back down this way.
Yeah, just a couple things. Saturday night, I attended the CCFR Awards dinner out at the university. I actually had a great time and learned a lot sort of about the fire department and things like that. I really appreciated the opportunity to go out and had a great time. The other thing I wanted to mention, I guess the same time that the Juneau Economic Development Council is doing the Innovation Summit, the Alaska Municipal League will be in town. And I think there's some events that sort of conflict with, I think, an assembly meeting and a few other things. But I assume that Ms. Crane and I will be pretty much involved. I guess there's an all-day mayor's thing, too, at the same time. Pretty much that's my comments. Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Nankervis?
Nothing at this time. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. About a week ago, I noticed the third My Turn article in the Empire with reference to public notice, and in this particular case, this one individual was commenting again, as others have, about the deficiencies in the perceived deficiencies in our public notice of public meetings. And I'm somewhat concerned because I believe that we do a very good job of noticing the public and providing every opportunity for input. But perhaps we haven't articulated it in the way that a majority of our citizens do understand and do appreciate the work that's done on all fronts, whether it's radio or print and our own webpage. But again, I believe that the city of Borough does a fantastic job of noticing the public. However, maybe we need to take another look at it, mm-hmm. identify another way of getting this message across to the public, the work that we do accomplish in this area. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. And maybe after things slow down a little bit on your committee, we could pull the public notice policy out and look at it, and if you have any ideas or thoughts from your committee after you slow down. I know that you're busy, but we can pull that policy out and have staff give a report to your committee, and then if there's any thoughts or ideas on how to make it better, we would be glad to entertain those. And I'm sure, I know that the city manager, Mr. Hartle, and the clerk are all busy with trying to make sure that we conform to whatever our public notifications are. And a lot of people get notified. Some people just don't, you know.
Get it.
Yeah. Or get to see it, that's for sure. And I know that being away from it, you get out of the loop a little bit. Even the year that I was gone, I was able to see a difference of not keeping up with it and keeping up with the notices and what was going on completely, even though I was still interested in it. So maybe we can do something different, maybe we can't. We'll look at that. Mr. Keel, is that okay with your committee?
Happy to. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Who's next? Mr. Dibdahl? Any comments?
People are busy trying to make a living.
Yeah.
Nothing, Mr. That's Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. a couple of things since we last met. I was privileged to attend, along with Ms. Crane, the Martin Luther King Day observances out in the valley about a week and a half ago, I guess. It was an inspiring and remarkable event, and my compliments go to the Black Awareness Association and the groups with whom they collaborate to put that on each year. It was really, really wonderful. I was also privileged to attend the Filipino Community Inc.'s installation of new officers and reception for the legislature this past weekend. I didn't know there were ovens big enough to cook that much food. But it is a staggeringly well-attended event, which I think speaks very highly both of the food and of the community that puts it on. And they do a great job of welcoming the legislature to town and of representing an important segment of our community. I wonder if I might turn to the manager or perhaps to Mr. Schaff, who's sitting in the audience, and ask about the comment we got early in the meeting from Ms. Clement and the younger Mr. Amadori about dogs and cleanliness in our parks. And perhaps it would be best if we asked for an update on the press release that went out earlier about the ticketing policy and start there, maybe transition into the Capitol School Park issue.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Madam Manager?
Sure. George, would you come up too? So part of the reason the press release went out last week was because of Capitol Park and because we're having spring break up a little earlier than we usually do, and that tends to show that the piles that were left in the snow really don't dissolve over the winter. They stay there and they reappear. And that's what we're seeing at Capitol Park. Capitol Park has been an issue for a number of years, as are a number of other areas in the borough, because people don't clean up. Parks and Rec does a great job trying to get bags out there, provide people with ways to clean up, garbage cans to put it in, but if people don't do it, that becomes a challenge. I know that George has been working with Grateful Dogs, and they have been very helpful in the past on going up and doing specific cleanups in areas. What we're hoping to not have to do is actually block off the park totally and keep the dogs out of the whole area. One, it's a challenge to try and block off that area. Two, it's one of the few places people could actually go and walk their animals. And we want to give them that opportunity to do it as long as they clean up after it. So I'll turn it over to George because he can probably give you a little more specifics.
Thank you. I'm George Schaff. I'm the Parks Landscape Superintendent for the city. And that was a pretty good overview as far as where we are right now. I actually met with Grateful Dogs this morning and brought them up to speed on the policy. And they do have a really dedicated volunteer who spends quite a bit of time cleaning up Capitol School Park. A lot of people volunteer time doing that, including the teachers and staff at the two schools that use the park. And they make it one of the most heavily used parks in Juneau. We frequently see 60, 70 kids running around that park at recess every day of the week. So it's highly used, and that's, I think, why it definitely draws a lot of attention. We also had our staff out there last week. They gathered up, I'm sorry, this might be indelicate, but about 10 gallons worth of waste from the park, again, because it's accumulated over the winter, and it's becoming really apparent right now. And so that, combined with the feedback we were getting from the schools and from the users out there, not only at Capitol School Park, but also throughout town, led us to contact Animal Control, and together we came up with a plan to implement the zero tolerance policy for pet waste and the leash law violations, and that's what the officers are going to be targeting. The Animal Control officers have been providing warnings for years, doing their best and issuing citations when necessary, but we felt at this point it really required something to get people's attention and step up enforcement. So at least in municipal parks, there will be no warnings given during the duration of the zero tolerance policy. And just to let you know, we do provide about 250 to 300,000 bags per year here in Juneau, and our staff also service a lot of the trash cans that those are used, and they are heavily used. It's a large majority of the dog owners in Juneau use the bags that we provide, and they are very responsible, but it just takes one dog doing its business once a day, and pretty quickly after a month, it's quite a mess.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw.
And can you inform us a little more? I mean, I use Capitol School Park a lot. My kids go there a lot. And it's not at all uncommon to see the dog who just got let out the back door comes in without a person at all. There's nobody to cite. How are we handling those situations? Can we?
When I talk to Animal Control, one thing I can tell you is that they are going to be changing the hours of their patrols to better target when people are likely to be letting their dogs out to do their business. And I think that it is a challenge because, honestly, when you see a uniformed animal control officer, most people are going to do what's expected of them. And what we're trying to communicate is that even if nobody's there, you need to be responsible. And that if you are seen not being responsible, you can receive a citation. And we really would encourage, and Animal Control would too, folks to call and report if you're seeing patterns like that certain times a day, same dog, give them a call. And they're very willing to step up their patrols and be there at the times they need to be there.
Mr. Wanamaker.
No comments tonight, thank you.
Ms. Crane?
Nothing, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Crane. Deputy Mayor Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Most of us, many of us, went to the SLAM groundbreaking event, which was excellent and very well attended, and our mayor did give some words of wisdom and so forth. But also, a friend of mine took pictures of us, and I've sent them to the mayor and to our city clerk, and I'm sure many of you would like to have an 8x10 of some of those pictures. So if you'd like to see them, Lori has them. And some of them turned out all right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Do you think that we can charge $5 a piece for those pictures, Ms. Becker?
I think a fundraiser is probably, but I'm sure the finance. Public would love to buy those pictures.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Becker. And I just wanted to follow up on Mr. Keel's remarks about the Filipino Hall on Saturday night. As usual, wonderful food. As usual, wonderful people. We swore in their new Filipino officers for the new year, and they do a fabulous job for our community on that side of the culture for the Filipino community. And the Sister Cities report that you got tonight, the group that went to the Philippines and now a follow-up group, they want to come here and we want to go there. And so there's about 800 or 900 of the local Filipino community that is from that one province of the Philippines. So it would be a neat thing for the Sister Cities group to be able to follow up on that and get involved with it. You go over there to that community, some of those smaller towns, and you see the same names as the names that are on some of the buildings, Carrillo's and Antolasco's and Samaniego's and all those different names you see here on some of our community halls that they show up over there on their community hall. So it's a pretty neat thing, and it was a really fun time, and I know that all the legislator people really truly appreciated it, especially later on when they had to get up and dance. And I think that there is a video of that floating around somewhere of about 10, and I was in the back, so hopefully nobody could see me, but it was a lot of fun and a good time for sure. Now it's time for continuation of public participation. Is there anybody in the public who wishes to speak to us on non-agenda items? Seeing none, there's no executive session for tonight.
No.
We're adjourned.